This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Cody Boston at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. He brings us a message entitled, Jesus is the Way. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. And now, Brother Boston.
It's good to see you this morning, and I'm thankful you're here again. And I want to ask you to go ahead and open your Bibles to John the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, that's where we will be for our study this morning. If you notice, last week we were in John the 13th chapter, and then today we'll be in John 14. Next week we will be in John 15. And John 15 will be talking about Jesus, the true vine. Jesus, the one true vine. But today we're going to talk about Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. I want to start this morning with an illustration for you, and with this illustration, it's one I've heard, a story I heard told by another preacher before, and it might sound funny at first, but it really connects, I promise, and it does make sense, and it is relevant, and we'll come back to it at the end as well. But I want to begin, and I want to ask by a show of hands at first, who here has been to Gatlinburg, Tennessee? Okay, all right. Great. I have too, but for the sake of the story, I haven't. Okay. So, Gatlinburg, Tennessee is a beautiful place. But let's say that I've never been before. Okay. And so I go on social media, I go on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and I put out there a status or a tweet that says that I'm going to Gatlinburg and I don't know where I'm going and I'm planning this trip. And so I need some instructions, I need some help in navigating. And so I put this out for people to be able to get back to me and give me some input. And so I tweeted out, and then I began to get my stuff together to pack. And so as I'm packing, the phone rings. And someone on the other line says, "Hey, Cody, I hear you're going to Gatlinburg." I was like, "Well, yes, I am. I'm really excited. I've never been, and I'm really anxious, and I'm getting everything together right now to pack." And they said, "Oh, that's great. You're going to love Gatlinburg. It's beautiful this time of year. You're going to make some great memories. It's going to be fantastic." And I'm thinking, "Okay, so you've been. That's awesome." And they're like, "Well, no, I've never been to Gatlinburg. But my parents have been to Gatlinburg. Or my parents have told me how to get to Gatlinburg." And I'm thinking, "Okay, so your parents have been to Gatlinburg." And he says, "No, my parents haven't been either. But they're my parents. My parents know everything. They tell me that all the time. My parents know everything, and they're not going to lead me astray. They love me. They're going to tell me the truth. And so when my parents say, this is how you get there, that's how you get there." And I'm thinking, okay. And so it's a very interesting conversation. And then I hang up the phone, and I'm thinking, well, his parents haven't been there. He's not been there. I don't know if I really trust what he says. And I'm still getting everything together. I start to pack some clothes here and there. And then the phone rings a second time. And it says, "Hey, Cody, I hear you're going to Gatlinburg." And I'm like, "Yeah, I am. I'm excited." And they say, "Well, that's great. You're going to love it." And I'm like, "Okay, so you've been to Gatlinburg." And I'm excited, you know, and anxious. And I say, "Well, no, I've never been to Gatlinburg. But, Cody, you're going to think this is crazy. But I actually had a dream last night about Gatlinburg. And, man, it was so real. It felt like I was in Gatlinburg. And so based off of that dream, I know this is the way to go. I just know it. It has to be. Why else would I have the dream?" And I'm thinking, "You're kind of crazy." But we have a little more conversation. I hang up the phone, and then the phone rings a third time. I answer the phone, and I'm kind of hesitant. And they say, "Hey, Cody, here, going to Gatlinburg." "Yeah, I'm going. I guess." and they say, "Well, that's great. You're going to love Gatlinburg." And I'm thinking, that's awesome. "Have you been?" And they say, "Well, no, I've not been." I'm thinking, "Nope, you haven't." And they said, "But my preacher talks about Gatlinburg all the time. My preacher knows a lot about this kind of stuff, I'm telling you. And he tells me this is how you get there. So I'm telling you, it's got to be the right way. He's my preacher. So he's the one that knows the way." So we hang up the phone, and I start unpacking. I'm kind of frustrated. I'm fed up. I'm just thinking, Gatlinburg's not worth the headache. And then the phone rings a fourth time, I answer the phone. And they say, "Hey, Cody, you're going to Gatlinburg?" And I'm saying, "Probably not." And we have a conversation, and I say, "So have you been to Gatlinburg?" "Well, no, I haven't, but I've been meditating on Gatlinburg most of my life. I've been thinking about it for so long, and I tell you what, I just have this feeling. I know this is the right way. After years of thinking and meditating on going to this place, I know that this is the way to go. I just have the feeling. You got to trust me." So I hang up the phone, and I immediately start putting everything away. I'm done with Gatlinburg. But then the phone rings one more time. And on the other end of the line, someone calls and says, "Cody, I hear you're going to Gatlinburg." And I say, "Well, not anymore." And he says, "Well, that's a shame. Man, it's beautiful, so beautiful this time of year." And I'm thinking, like, you've been there. And he says, "Not only have I been there, Cody, I built Gatlinburg. And not just did I help build Gatlinburg, I built the way to Gatlinburg." When I said the illustration and we were going through the different people calling, people were laughing. People were thinking, that's crazy. Because it is crazy. None of these individuals had been to Gatlinburg, so why would I listen to them about how to get to Gatlinburg? Brothers and sisters, there are many voices in your life that are telling you how to get to heaven, but none of them have been there. But there's one that has. And so this morning, I'm begging you to put aside your feelings, put aside your emotions, put aside everything else, and let's focus on facts. Let's focus on intellect. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're not insulting anybody else. We're not insulting other congregations or any denominations. We're not doing any of that. We are simply asking the one person that's been to heaven, how do we get to heaven? That one person is Jesus Christ. So before we get into that, we need to understand, why should we ask Jesus? Because he's been given great authority. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to get to heaven. The wrong way is not going to lead you there. If I go off all these other people telling me how to get to Gatlinburg, I'm going to wind up in some other place and probably another state. Jesus has been given great authority. And so we're going to go to him this morning. And again, I'm asking you to go with me, to read with me in the Bible, because I want you to understand what I'm telling you is not what your preacher is telling you. What I'm telling you this morning is not what some Christian is telling you. What I'm telling you this morning is what Jesus is telling you. And so when you leave today, I want you to understand what Jesus says about how to get to heaven. Because it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. I've never been to heaven. Jesus has not only been there, but he built the way for us to get there. But he's been given authority by God. I want you to read with me this morning on the screen. We're going to read some scripture together. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this: "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son." Here's the authority. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." So Jesus has been given authority by God. Let's go to another verse. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Before we read this, last week in John 13, remember we talked about Jesus, the humble servant, how he got down and he washed the feet of the apostles, including Judas and Peter. But then, towards the end of John 13, if you read in your Bibles, what you will see is this is the moment where Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. There is no way." And Jesus says, "Yes, you are." And then he comes into John 14 with that train of thought, and that's where this picks up. After that, Peter's really troubled, and Jesus says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Jesus says, "I'm going to go and prepare this place for you, and you know how to get there, and you know the way." And then Thomas said to him, verse 5, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has been given authority. He's been given authority to tell us what to do. He died for the church. I think he can tell us how to get into the church. And so what we need to understand this morning is the questions that we're going to ask, they are being asked to Jesus. And we want to see what Jesus' answers are to this question of how do we get to heaven? How do we become a Christian? So again, I want you to put everything else out of your mind that you've ever heard about obeying the gospel. I want you to put everything else out of your mind that some preacher has told you or anybody else has told you. And this morning, I want you to come to the Scriptures and listen to what Jesus has to tell you. And I promise if you're willing to do that, you can leave here changed. You can leave here knowing you are going to heaven because you are in connection with the way. Matthew chapter 28, another text where we have Jesus giving the Great Commission. And before he does, he tells them, all authority has been given on heaven and, in heaven and on earth. Why does he say that? Because he's trying to get them to understand, what I'm about to tell you is huge. It's a very big responsibility, and I want you to know, God has given me authority to tell you these things. So listen up. So this morning, God has given him authority to tell us these things, so let's listen up. So that leads us from the great authority to the great commands. The first command, and we're going to go on a journey today. Let's go back. We're going to go on a journey today, and we're acting like we're driving down a road, okay? And as we're driving down the road, you're going to see different signs, different stops along the way. So our first stop this morning is at the word here. Jesus, how do we get to heaven? Well, before Jesus begins telling us these things, we need to understand this. You've got to hear about Jesus. You've got to hear about him as the Son of God. Romans 10:17, the Bible tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to hear the word. You can't believe something you've never heard before. Amen? I mean, you got to agree with that. If I've never heard about Jesus, I can't believe in Jesus. So when someone says you've got to hear the gospel, what they're saying is you need to understand that it's a natural process of conversion. Just like with every other bit of information, you got to hear about Jesus. Then we come to our second stop, and that stop is the word love. Now, what I mean by that is not the word love the way the world defines it today. Because the world defines it in a lot of different ways, in ways that are not true to the word and the meaning. What I mean by the word love is this. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength so much that all we want to do is listen to him and obey him. If you don't love God, it doesn't matter if you get in water because you're just getting wet. If you don't love God, you can't go to heaven. You've got to love God. And when you love God, you truly love God the way the word was meant to be defined, then all of the things that involve being a Christian come naturally to you because all you care about is serving the one you love. So we've got to love. We've got to hear about Jesus, and we've got to love this Jesus that died for us. And when we begin to love, we see in Matthew 22, verses 37, 38, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then the next verse after that begins and tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then when you go to the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and this one is not on the screen, but Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, the Bible says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Living the life of a Christian is not simply saying, I believe in God. It's not simply saying that I understand that heaven's real and hell is real, and I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to just do what God says. It's more than that. If we want to go to heaven, we've got to love God with all of our hearts, so much so that we're willing every single day to wake up, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. Every day. Husbands and wives, you love each other, right? And when you wake up every morning, you don't get a chance to decide, am I going to love her today? You agreed to love her today. When you become a Christian, you're entering into a covenant relationship with God. And you've got to understand that love has got to be present. So that leads us to our next stop, and that's the word believe. We've heard about Jesus. We've decided, we understand this morning, we've got to love. We must love each other, and we must love God above all. And then we come to this word. Jesus, what do you mean that I need to believe? The Bible says this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, I want you to go back and look at the end of this verse with me. Whoever believes in him should. It does not say that you will not. Remember what the Bible says about demons? They believe and they tremble, but they're not in heaven. Belief alone is not enough, and when someone tells you all you need to do is believe and you're going to be saved, I hope this morning when you leave today, you understand that that's incorrect. He says, whoever believes in him should not perish, meaning belief is necessary and it's leading you in the right direction, okay? But it's not all. And just because you believe does not mean that you won't perish. But you must have it in order to proceed. So we take a stop at this exit of we must believe. We come next to John 8:24. Jesus says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You got to believe. And then you come to Isaiah 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. When we choose not to believe in God, and we choose to live however we want, and we choose to live a life full of sin, our iniquities, our sins, separate us from our God forever. We got to believe. We got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. When he says, I am the Son of God, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, brothers and sisters, we better believe. Because he is. He is the only way. There is no other way. Before we go on to the next one, you got to decide, are you going to get back in the car and keep driving with me? Because if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't continue. Everything else we do from this point is because you've heard and you choose to believe in the things that you've heard. If you don't believe, you don't get back on the bus. But if you believe, I've got some more stuff for you. I've got some more info that's not from me. It's from Jesus. Stop number three, excuse me, number four along the way. If you choose to believe, tell you what, before we get to repent, I do want to share this illustration with you. Could you imagine drowning in a pool and you're yelling out for someone to save you? And someone else is there and they come up and they grab a life ring, they throw it out to you while you're in the water and you grab it and you start to come up and as you get closer to being on the surface and out of the water, you realize who it is that threw you the life ring and who it is that's saving you, and you look at them and you say, no, I don't want you to save me. So you throw them the life ring back and you go back out in the water. Is that not crazy? Brothers and sisters, in John 8:24, let's go back there just for a second. When Jesus says, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, Jesus is not trying to be harsh. Jesus is that person that's standing outside the water and is yelling to you, you've got to believe that I can save you. If you don't believe that I can do it, then you're going to drown in the water. And Jesus is pleading with you, if you do not believe that I truly am the Son of God, if you don't believe that I am the way and the only way, then you are going to drown in your sins. You know how silly it is to throw a life ring back to someone who's trying to save you physically? How sillier is it, if that's a word? It is, because I'm from Dunlap. How much sillier is it if Jesus is standing there telling you, I'm the way, and this is how you get to heaven, and we tell him, no, Jesus, I don't want you to do it. I'll figure it out. That's silly. That's crazy. You wouldn't do that if your physical life was in jeopardy. So why are you willing to do it with your spiritual life? Your physical life is temporary, but your spiritual life will be forever. So Jesus, what's next? I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're really the only way to heaven. So what's next? And we come to our next stop number four, and that's the word repentance. Luke 13:3-5. I put that up there because 3 and 5 are the exact same verse. It says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Okay? Watch repentance. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 20. Paul is talking to King Agrippa, and he tells Agrippa about his ministry. And then he gives this beautiful description of repentance. This is Paul continuing in thought. He says, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent. Well, Paul, watch repentance. Turn to God and do the works befitting of repentance. Repentance is not just saying, God, I'm sorry. Repentance is not word only. Repentance is you ask for God's forgiveness and then you actively turn from sin and turn to God. If God's over here and this is the way of sin and I'm walking this way and I say, God, I'm sorry, I'm basically doing this. I'm starting to go in the right direction, but I've not fully committed to turning to God. If you really want to repent, which is required for us to be forgiven, then you've got to completely turn from sin and to God. And walk towards Him. If we repent, we understand next, we must confess. Brothers and sisters, if you're a Christian today, and it doesn't matter if you were baptized a week ago, or 15 or 20 years ago, your works, your actions ought to prove that there was a day in your past, and that was the day that you said, I am repenting of my sins and turning to God, and I am confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Because repentance and confession are not just things that we do in front of people. They're lifestyles. They're daily choices that we make. Jesus, what do you mean confess? Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Repentance is not just a verbal statement, but it is a lifestyle. It is choosing every day to follow Jesus rather than follow people or follow the world. Your actions, your words should tell people that you're confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Because if I'm living some other way, my actions are preaching some kind of message. And if it's not confessing that Jesus is the Son of God through my actions, then I'm confessing to the world that I don't really believe it. At least not enough to obey it. We've got to be very careful and understand Jesus wants everything. He wants our all. And in return, we have a chance to live in heaven with Him for eternity. But it requires every day waking up, picking up your cross and saying, I choose you over sin. It requires waking up every day and saying, Lord, please forgive me for my sins. I am turning from my sins and turning to you. It requires every day waking up and purposing in your heart like Daniel did and saying, I am going to live today and let my actions confess to people that God is my God, that Jesus is my Savior, that I truly believe He is the Son of God. John chapter 12, verse 42, beginning, the Bible says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Did you hear that? Many believed, but because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I'm afraid as Christians today, brothers and sisters, we have gotten to the point where we love the praise of men more than we love the praise of our Creator. You say, well, no, Cody, that's not true. Well, let's look at our lives and let's see if that's true. If we're basing our decisions off of people rather than God, if everything in our schedule is put in first and then we try to fit God in, then yeah, it's true. We are more concerned with people praising us than God praising us. It says that they believed in him. But they didn't confess him because they were too concerned with everything else. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you're here and you believe in him, I beg and plead that you don't let other people's opinions and thoughts keep you from confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Okay, Jesus, I've heard what you've said. I love you. I love what you've done for me. I believe all of these things to be true. I'm going to repent and turn from sin and turn to you. I'm going to confess you every day as the Son of God. What's next, Lord? And then Jesus says, I have another stop. And that's, I need you to be baptized. Many in the world today will say that baptism is not essential, that it is something else that we do after we've been saved. Brothers and sisters, in Acts chapter 2, when the baptism happened, in verses 38 and following, did you notice after those things it says, the Lord added to the church? Men didn't add to the church. They weren't added before they were baptized. This was a process, a sequential thing. Jesus says, I need you to be baptized. Mark chapter 16, another instance where he's giving the great commission to go to the whole world. He says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now notice the change here. Remember in John 3:16 it says, should not be condemned? What does it say here? He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Baptism is necessary. Notice about this word, everything we've studied so far up to this point, none of it has taken away our sins. None of it. So if you've gotten to this point and you reject being baptized into the blood of Jesus, you still have your sins. Well, Cody, what's the big deal about that? What's so important about the sin part? In Isaiah 59, where it says our iniquities have separated us from God, that's our sins. Death is separation. When someone dies physically, they leave this world, and we are separated physically from them. If we have sin in our lives, we are separated from God. And if we die with sin in our lives, we will be forever, eternally, spiritually separated from God. Spiritually dead. That's scary. Jesus doesn't want that to happen, and God doesn't want that to happen. But just because he loves us doesn't mean he's going to give us a free pass. He expects something in return. So let's talk about the great explanation of baptism. In Mark chapter 16, what we just read, and before we go to Ephesians 1:3, the word gospel, okay, that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then it says to every creature, doesn't matter who, every single person needs the gospel. So what are we going to do with that good news, with the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized. What we're doing is we're asking people to respond to Jesus Christ. We're asking people to respond to his message. You ever heard the phrase from A to Z? Some people will go here and say, well, why does it say in this verse, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? It doesn't say repent or confess or any of these other things. Why does it say just believe and baptize? That's a contradiction. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand when Jesus is saying this, it's almost like our phrase from A to Z that we say on a daily basis. He's talking about the gospel that brings a lost person into a state of being saved by Jesus Christ, by himself. So he points at the state where they are, and he says, look, will you believe and be baptized? I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Notice he doesn't have baptism for someone who doesn't believe. He doesn't say he that believes or is baptized. He doesn't say he that believes and is baptized later. He says he that believes and is baptized. I'm going to share with you an interesting story. My preacher back home when I was growing up did a radio show for a number of years. And one day a guy called in and it was about baptism. And my preacher said, turn to Mark 16 and I want you to please read verse 16 for me. He starts reading it and he says, he that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. My preacher said, well, hold on now, okay? I want you to read it exactly the way you see it in the Bible, exactly the way it is in front of you. Okay. He that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. And on again this went. Brothers and sisters, people are going to read into the Bible what they want to read. That doesn't make it right. We need to be careful and be certain that we are listening to Scripture. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What is baptism? What's this? Let's look at the great explanation of it. Blessed be the God and Father, Ephesians 1:3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? Where is every spiritual blessing? It is in Christ. Okay, so number one, every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Next, what are we talking about after that? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Where? Where is eternal life? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Every spiritual blessing, eternal life, all of these things are in Christ. Well, how do we get into Christ? Romans 6:3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, or excuse me, were baptized into his death? As many of us were baptized into Christ, Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. How do we get into Christ? Baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, the Bible says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. Eternal life is in Christ Jesus. Hope is in Christ Jesus. Peace is in Christ Jesus. Well, brothers and sisters, how do we get in Christ Jesus? We've got to be baptized into Christ. Baptism's essential. We must understand that. What does Christ's covenant say to us about baptism? It tells us, this is the point that I save you. Remember we talked earlier about Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible says, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we have, as we go on, Acts 22:16, this is Paul talking about his conversion. He says, Ananias said to him, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That phrase, calling on the name of the Lord, there is a reference to obedience to Christ. It's not a physical saying of calling on Jesus' name, but it is the act of baptism in which we are calling on the name of Jesus. We've heard. We believe in the things we've heard. We have this love that is growing for Christ and for God. We understand we've got to repent of our sins. We can't keep living the same way any longer. We must confess Jesus as the Son of God and turn to Him. And after that confession, there's something left, because at this point, I still have sin. And as long as I have sin, I can't come before the throne of God. So I've got to get rid of this sin. How do I do that? By coming into contact with the blood of Jesus in baptism. Then I'm added to the Lord's church in Acts chapter 2. And that leads us to the great promise to live faithful. Jesus promises us a crown of life in Revelation 2:10. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You're going to suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison that you will be tried, and you'll receive tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Don't be afraid when you suffer. Stay true and stay strong and live faithful, and you'll receive a crown of life because of your efforts. Because you've been added to the church and you're a part of that church. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we're driving along the road and there's one lane that leads to God's way, and there's 4, 5, 6, 7 that lead our way. We got to make sure we're getting off on the right exit. Jesus says, interstate, I am the way. I didn't make that. I found it online. I thought it was pretty funny. Pretty cool. I am the way. Jesus is the only way. So this morning, you know, we told that story about Gatlinburg. Let's reflect for just a second as we close. You come and you say, or you post on somewhere, how do I get to heaven? Someone calls you up and says, Cody, this is how you get to heaven. Oh, so you've been to heaven? Well, no, but my parents have told me. And my parents are good people and they love me. Brothers and sisters, at Judgment Day, it doesn't matter what your parents have told you if it does not connect with the Word of God. Then someone else calls and they say, well, I've never been either, but I had a dream last night about heaven, and it was so real, I promise I was there, so this must be the right way. This is how you live. This is what God said to me. Brothers and sisters, that person also has never been to heaven. So I beg you not to listen to them. Someone else says, well, my preacher talks about heaven all the time, so he knows exactly what he's saying. He knows exactly what he's talking about because that's his job, to know the Scripture. If what he says does not connect with the Word of God, then it's error, and it does not lead to heaven, because your preacher's not the way to heaven. Someone else calls and says, well, I've been meditating on heaven most of my life. I think good thoughts. I stay away from the bad things, and I just have this feeling that God is leading me in this way, and I know this is the right way. Brothers and sisters, that person's also not the way. This morning, we're not talking about emotion, and we're not talking about feeling. You see, God gave us teaching so that we could learn. I'm asking you to use your intellect and to look at the words of Christ and to understand that the road to heaven has been built for you, and it wasn't paved. It was built with a hammer and nails. It was built with wood, and it was painted in blood. The road to heaven, the way, has been made. And I beg you, if you've never traveled that way, that you don't put it off any longer. There are so many voices that are screaming out to you, trying to pull you in one direction or the other and tell you how to become a Christian and how to get to heaven. And none of those people have been to heaven. And none of those people died on the cross for your sins. But the one who did die on the cross and the one who is at God's right hand in heaven is saying to you, this is how you get to where I am. So I beg you this morning, tune out the other voices and listen to the Savior. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to others. Listen to Jesus. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, please don't leave today without doing so. Life is way too uncertain. Too many crazy things happen. Too many unpredictable things happen. And people who have been waiting for the right moment to be baptized sometimes never get the moment. And guess what? Just because they were thinking about maybe being baptized later, if they die in sin, it's too late. There is no do-over. So if you're here today and you've never come into contact with the blood of Christ, you have sin. And you need the sin to be gone. And you need to be in Christ. And you can be in Christ right now. And you can leave knowing you're traveling the way to heaven. You're going the right way because you're listening to the only way. If you're here this morning and you've hit a detour in your spiritual walk, you were traveling on the road that leads to heaven, but you got distracted and you got off the road and you let life get in the way. You can come forward and you can confess your sins, and as a church family, we can lift you up. And together we can begin living a life, walking the walk that Jesus walked on this earth. Living the way that he wants us to live. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you have any need, will you please come as we stand and sing the invitation song?
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.